Chapter 7, Driving to Las Vegas. The stories of my youth are working wonderfully, and Adam Egan is awake, annoyingly awake. He suddenly can't stop talking long enough to shut up about how his girlfriend broke up with him just last week, and how he lost his BlackBerry, which has his sponsor's phone number on it, and how they don't appreciate him enough at the world-famous comedy store. And me, I'm riding shotgun, listening to Billy Joe Shaver on the radio, and thinking about the plan. I stare out at the black, starless night. I only have $200 to my name, but I have a plan. And the good thing about the plan is that it's foolproof. So I decide I'll get some shut-eye now that Adam Egan is exceptionally awake. I close my eyes and turn the car radio way up, and Billy Joe Shaver's voice drowns out Adam Egan's. The devil made me do it the first time. A second time, I'd done it on my own. And I smile as I fall asleep. The slam of the car door wakes me, and my dreams fall away as the facts of my life tumble back into my empty head. I'm alone in the car and look out to see that I'm at the edge of the desert, the godforsaken desert where the snakes go hungry and die eating dirt. I see that Adam Egan is out there, pacing around, agitated, a cigarette stuck to his mouth like always, like they must teach everyone to do at AA. And he's cursing a sky that has no stars. So I ask him what the problem is. Well, this is where Kinnison died, Norm. Jesus. If that's true, Adam, you took a detour off Highway 15. It's going to set us back at least an hour. I get out of the Challenger with the intention of giving Adam Egan a good old-fashioned beating. But then I realize this is sacred ground, after all. I put one knee down in the hard sand, bow my head, and close my eyes. Sam, the last original voice in comedy, silenced forever when a drunk in a pickup hit him head-on. After the crash, Sam got out of the car, walked around, talked to his best friend Carl LeBove, and then finally to God himself. He had heard something out there that Carl hadn't, and he seemed at peace with it as he lay down and his spirit rose into the cold desert air. It's sacred ground, all right. You knew him, Norm. Adam Egan was kicking the hard sand as if the desert itself was to blame. Yeah, I knew him all right. When I first started out, he was real kind to me. Sam wasn't famous yet and couldn't get much work in the States, but Mark Breslin, the fellow who owned all the clubs up in Canada and gave me my start, he wasn't like a regular club owner. He hired Sam when no one else would, and that's how I came to know Sam. Did he kill every night, Norm? No. The fact was, he never killed at all. Mark Breslin had a bonus in Sam's contract that Sam would get an extra $1,000 every time he walked a room. But every single person had to leave. I saw Sam do it twice. Boy, those were crazy days, Adam Egan. Crazy, beautiful days. Why didn't he kill? How do I know? Truth was, it was a mystery because he could shake a room to its foundations and the folks knew that something was going on, but they'd get up and leave just the same. Maybe folks don't want anything new. Maybe they just want to hear the things they already know. How the hell should I know? What was he like before he was famous, Norm? Oh, well, he was a sight to see. The rest of us, we all dressed in suit jackets and shoes like our dads wore, but Sam's jacket was a long duster. He always wore a bandana, too. And when he talked, it was a wild shriek, but there was music in it. It put me in mind of a Pentecostal minister I'd seen once who hailed from West Texas and came up through the Ottawa Valley when I was a young boy. A man who handled snakes and talked unafraid. Sam put me in mind of him, and for good reason, too. Turned out Sam used to be a preacher himself. Anyways, I was just starting out in comedy at the time. And Sam came through Ottawa, and he took a liking to me, so he let me travel with him and open for him all across Canada. I bet you have good stories about Sam, don't you, Norm? Oh, sure. I remember one time we were flying from Toronto to Winnipeg, Sam and I, and before we took off, the captain came over the intercom, as is the custom on airplanes. Good morning, the captain said. This is your captain, Pat Johnson. And we will be flying, and Sam gave out a wild scream. No! No! Ah! Not Crash Johnson! Not Crash Johnson! Ah! Well, it was about the funniest thing I'd ever heard. The idea that this captain had been in so many accidents that his nickname was Crash, well, that just busted me up, and I started laughing and couldn't stop. Of course, nobody else found it funny at all. It caused quite an alarm, and Sam got himself a good talking to by the girls that bring you the little drinks. But he didn't care. He had me laughing hard, which I guess was the only thing he was after. He apologized to the girls, giggling the whole time. You know, that old Sam giggle. Yeah, says Adam Egget, I really wish I'd met him, but it was before my time. There's so many great Kinnison stories at the store. It's so unfair that guys like Sam have to die so young, and a son of a bitch like Nelson Mandela lived to be an old man. Well, Nelson Mandela wasn't a son of a bitch. He fought apartheid, and they put him in prison for more than 20 years. And when they finally released him, and he took power, he never exacted revenge on his enemies. Instead, he exacted forgiveness on them and brought his torn nation together. I thought he stole some diamonds. No. Didn't he steal a bunch of diamonds and then sell them back to the guy he stole them from? No. Well, who am I thinking of then? I don't know. Let's get back in the car now. It's cold in the desert. I don't like it in the middle of the desert late at night. I know this is when the creatures emerge. They spend their days hiding from the merciless sun behind rocks and cactus, and it's when the sun goes down that they make their living. In the black of night, I can hear them, hungry, scrabbling over the rocks. And I look over at Adam Egget, but he's looking down, lost, the way a man looks when there's nothing but darkness around him, and the only thing that will help is a deep, deep swig from a bottle. Of course, Adam Egget lost the bottle 5 years ago, and now he has nothing. It makes me feel bad. Sorta. Come on, Adam Egget, let's move. We'll stop at the border, Whiskey Pete's. We'll eat fried bread and molasses while I tell you the plan. How's that sound to you? You'll tell me the plan, Norm? You'll tell me what this is all about? Yeah, sure I will. If you want to know, I'll tell it to you. I want to know, Norm. I want to know the plan. That makes me laugh. I don't dare fall asleep in the car now. Adam Egget looks seriously unnerved, and the highway from L.A. to Vegas is scarred every few miles by black rubber, the last evidence of tumbling, burning cars. But I'm the passenger, and my job is to keep the driver relaxed and happy, and that means telling them more stories. Stories from the old days.